All right. Oh, does he? I didn't know he could. Smash it. Yes, sir. I don't need them. They're mine, though. All right. Good morning. Let's look in Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Like I said, we're taking a couple of weeks vacation here during the Christmas season from our normal Sunday school class in Proverbs. I like to teach in the book of Proverbs, very simple. And last week we talked about 2 Peter, a little bit before that as well on Wednesday. But this morning we're going to look in Song of Solomon chapter 5. Not many sermons get preached out of Song of Solomon, but it's probably the most New Testament book of the Old Testament, seeing as how it's between a bridegroom and his bride, very typical of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, and that's what this little passage we're going to read about tonight. Actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 16 of chapter 4, and we'll move on into chapter 5. And if you're looking at this passage of Scripture as symbolic of the church, And the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride and the groom, if you're looking at it symbolic that way, then verse number 16 is a prayer of the church. And of course, there's a lot of stuff that's symbolic in the Song of Solomon. And, I don't recommend you write your love letters quite like he wrote this one. Amen. She might get offended. But at any rate, here in chapter 4 and verse number 16, it usually does a pretty good, if you got something like a Scofield or something like that, does a pretty good job of laying out. Sometimes a Scofield doesn't do a good job in some areas, but in the book of Song of Solomon, Scofield does a good job of outlining who's doing the talking at what time. And so he does a good job here. And verse number 16, this is the bride speaks. It says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Verse number 1 of chapter 5 is the bridegroom replies. You know, if you'll pray, the Lord will answer your prayers. Amen. That's true. If you worry, you'll just get more worried. And if you're anxious, you'll just get more anxious. But if you pray, God will answer your prayers. Amen. So the bride prays in verse 16. The bridegroom answers in verse 1. "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." So what you've got is a type of the church praying, bless the church. That's what we're building. This, if we're the bride, then this is the bride's garden. You know, in the New Testament, we talk about being fruitful. Being fruitful. We want to see fruit that will abound to our account and fruit that will remain. Well, that's talking about souls. That's talking about going out and winning lost souls. Jesus died for sinners, and he wants sinners to be saved. And so when we win folks to Christ and get them in here, that's called fruit. And that's what the prayer is of verse number 16. "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, bless it. The wind bloweth where it listeth." You see the John chapter 3 reference right there. Blow upon the garden. If the Holy Spirit gets involved, some folks will start getting saved. Amen? And if anybody did get saved, it was because the Holy Spirit was involved in it. I'm not a Calvinist, but I do know this. I know the Holy Spirit has to deal with the man's heart. And I know the Lord said if he be lifted up, if he be crucified on the cross, he said that he would draw all men to him. He has a method for doing that. The Holy Spirit does his job. The preacher does his job. The witness does his job. And then souls are saved. Amen. So that's what's going on here between the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter number 5. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and read this chapter and see what's happening in the rest of chapter number 5. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and grace. Lord, I could say very easily that I'm unworthy to preach the gospel, and I do believe this is, Lord, really an extension of the gospel, a relationship between Christ and the church because we are saved. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be very mindful of our of our fellowship. Lord, we have our relationship. Our standing is that we are in Christ, but our state is something else. Sometimes, Lord, we fall short. We come short. Even as Christians, God, we come short before we were saved. And we realized that. We called on you to save us. But now after we are saved, Lord, we continue to come short. Fully recognize Romans chapter 7 is about a man who is coming short. He knows what to do. He even likes to do the right thing. He even has a desire to do the right thing. But Lord, he keeps doing the wrong thing. And Lord, it affects our fellowship with you. And Lord, you said if we say that we have fellowship with you and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I pray, God, you'd help us this morning to see and understand the scripture, even though this is a typical passage. I believe, Lord, that it's a very clear picture of what's going on here this morning. And I pray you'd help us, lead us, and guide us. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. All right, now let's start back verse number 5. I don't know how your Bible's laid out, but the first two words in that verse there, I am. And it's in all capital letters. That probably just a coincidence or something like that, or just the printers made that up. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He is the I am. Amen. He said, I am. Come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. You know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, he said, there I'll be in the midst. Amen. I said, if you pray, he'd answer. But if you gather together, he'll come be around you too. Amen. He said, well, I don't know if somebody would. I don't know if God would meet with a Christian like me or not. He will if you call on him. You was lost. You was his enemy, and you asked him to save you, and he did, didn't he? Well, you might be doing some despicable things as a Christian. You might be doing some things that a Christian ought not do, but if you call on him, he'd come visit you again. Amen. There used to be a time maybe when you was real close to him, probably when you first got saved. I think probably for most of us, the closest we'll ever be to the Lord is when we first got saved. Simple, childlike faith. We didn't understand a lot. We had to depend on him for everything. Then we went and got us a master's degree and a doctor's degree and a flop-doodle degree and all this kind of stuff. We learned a bunch of stuff. And, you know, we got all the certificates from the fellowship and the discipleship program. And now we know everything. And now it's hard to fellowship with the Lord after that. A lot of people get backslid just trying to be a Christian. Amen. You're talking about, well, you think I get backslid if I go to the movies? Well, I reckon so. If you can get backslid going to church, I reckon you get backslid going to the movies. Amen. And a lot of people don't have to go to movies to get backslid. They get backslid right here in the church. Amen. That's true, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. But a lot of people get so busy serving that they don't take time to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him and stay close to him. And what happens is your relationship is there, but your fellowship gets messed up. And I got a good idea that a lot of folks is just like that. Amen. Got an idea that a lot of Christians in high places and low places and middle places, you know, I just got a feeling that a lot of folks' fellowship is messed up with the Lord. Amen. The Pharisees was doing everything right. I mean, they weren't doing everything right, but in their own eyes, they were doing everything right. They had the letter of the law, and they knew what they were supposed to do at this specific time and this specific place. And of course, as far as they understood, they were trying to do the right thing, but they didn't have no relationship with the Lord. They didn't have no fellowship, I should say, with the Lord. When the Lord showed up, they didn't know who he was. Amen. A lot of times, you know, you'll hear somebody say, well, they are saved the same way in the Old Testament as they was in the New Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, they was looking forward to the cross. Well, it sure does amaze me, for all the looking forward to the cross, nobody recognized it when it showed up. Amen. I mean, Paul said in the book of Colossians, he said that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that was hid from in times past in the Old Testament. They weren't looking forward to the cross. They were looking forward to a king. When that king showed up, though, he's right there in front of their face. They didn't recognize him. Amen. And the Bible says that about the children of Israel. He said, you didn't recognize your visitation. You didn't recognize your visitation. The Lord showed up and visited you. The Lord showed up, wanted to fellowship with you a little bit. You didn't know who he was, so you turned him away. And that was a prophecy in the Old Testament. They didn't recognize their visitation. And I've got sad news for you. The church on many occasions, and this passage of scripture right here is one of them, is a prophecy of one of them, that the church also misses his visitation. Lord, show up, you won't even know he's there till he's gone. Israel didn't know he was there until he was gone. Amen? And then Simon Peter and John began to preach around Jerusalem and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Some Jews began to hear and believe, and very few, but some of them began to hear. They could have heard him when he was right there face to face. Did you know some of you could have heard his voice this week when he come around at what should have been prayer time? The Lord used to meet with you at 5 in the morning or 12 in the afternoon or 7 o'clock in the evening. He used to meet with you on a regular basis. But you don't meet with him no more. You don't pray like you used to. So when he come around, you missed your visitation. He is there. You say, well, I believe you ought to pray at 6 o'clock. If you believe that, then just go pray at 6 o'clock. He'll be there, amen? Well, Brother Mike, I'm not that way. I believe you ought to pray at lunchtime. Well, you pray at lunchtime, he'll show up, amen? Lord, not hard to get along with. He'll meet with you anytime. David said he prayed at morning, evening, and at noon. I got a feeling that the Lord probably met with him all three times. Amen? And I've heard preachers get up behind the pulpit and say, you ought to pray at this time, at that time, and the other time. And you ought to read your Bible this, that, and the other. I've heard people make all kinds of rules. Well, if you got that kind of rule for yourself, you just follow it, and there the Lord will meet you. Amen? And I'm not for making rules for somebody else. Amen? I just can't do that. The Bible's got enough rules. I can't keep up with them all myself. I'm not going to make some more rules for you. But I know this. If you'll meet with the Lord, he'll meet with you. Some of you used to meet with him on a regular basis. Now you don't meet with him no more. And that's exactly the picture that you've got in this chapter here. The church in verse number 16 of chapter 4 prays and said, God, I wish you'd come down here. Bless our church. And then before long, the Lord shows up to bless his church and looks around. Part of the bride ain't there. Amen? Don't you know that's one of the hardest things that churches have to get along with, is getting all the bride there at the same time. Amen? Amen? That got quiet right there, but you're here. You ought not to be the one getting quiet. Amen? You're here this morning. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're here. When the preacher starts preaching about people not being here, you don't have to get sad about it. Amen. It's the people that ain't here that ought to be sad about it. But maybe you laid out on Wednesday night. I don't know. Amen. I wasn't keeping roll on Wednesday night. But maybe you laid out on Wednesday night and you ought to stop that. Amen. You ought to stop that if you're a deacon or if you're a trustee. You ought to be here. All the time. Amen. If you related to the pastor, you ought to be here. Did you know being related to the administration don't give you the right that anybody else don't have? Amen. You're welcome. Amen. You ought to be here. The pastor shows up. How would you feel if the pastor kept your church-going habits? Yeah. That's good preaching right there. I used to try to say this, and you try to, as a preacher, that's what you try to do. You see what people's doing wrong, and you try to come up with a fancy way to say something against what they're doing so they'll start doing right. And I tried to come up with some things. And down in Georgia, I told them, one of these days, we're going to get everybody in here at one time, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take three or four of you and let you stay in here. I'm going to run the rest of the church out in the parking lot, and us three or four are going to sing hymns. We're going to sing one hymn together, the three or four of us, and then we're going to bring three or four more in, run that crowd out, so everybody in the room can see what it sounds like when you ain't here. Amen? Well, that didn't work. I never could get them there all at one time. Amen? Good church, and I don't have nothing bad to say about them. Just didn't like to all come at the same time. We'd have a shouting time if we did. But at any rate, I told him one day, I said, now, maybe we'll think of it this way. You've got problems, don't you? And sometimes they're physical problems, sometimes they're spiritual problems. But maybe, just maybe, you ought to think about it this way. That very Sunday you decide to lay out, maybe, maybe the Lord would show up and give you the exact thing that would have changed the rest of your life. Amen. Maybe you got bad marriage, and if you'd have showed up that week, maybe God would have told you how to fix that very thing, and you in the little mess or you in the big hunk might have got it all fixed up. Amen. But see, the Lord showed up and you weren't there. And see, the Lord's faithful. The Lord ain't going to look ahead and say, well, they ain't going to show up, so I ain't going to show up. No, sir, the Lord's faithful. Amen. How many verses can you think of in the New Testament says the Lord is faithful? Amen. He's not slack concerning his promises. He said, if two or three will show up, there I'll be in the midst. And I'll just give you the plain and simple of it. If you'll show up by yourself, he'll show up with you. Amen. Amen. Just about every one of you is schizo. That's two or three. Amen. Everybody's crazy. Did you know that? People talking about, well, I'm bipolar and I got... All of us got that. Every single one of us. Read Romans chapter 7. There's at least two of you. Amen. They give you medication for it. They ought not give you medication for it. You ought to work it out. Amen. Get down and pray and subdue and crucify the flesh and get rid of one of them voices in your head. Amen. Amen. I can't tell you what to do about the seven or eight other ones, but them two you can handle. Amen. The old man and the new man. That's true. That's bipolar. That's two. Bi. That's two. Amen. Not bisexual. Amen. A little bit bipolar. Yes. Probably so. Amen. No problem with that at all. But you know what the problem in churches are is the Lord shows up and people ain't there. But there never has been a time when the people showed up and the Lord wasn't there. Yeah, as a young pastor and stuff, you'd be tempted to say, well, the Lord wasn't here today. No, he was there. Amen. You preach a message, nobody gets saved. Well, the Lord wasn't in that. That don't make no sense to me. Amen. That's just not true. It's not the case. Maybe the problem's just me. That's a great attitude to have, and I know that's not popular in the world. The world wants you to be your best you now. That's why the world's preacher preaches that kind of message. But at any rate, you know, self-esteem is the big thing, and, you know, it must be somebody else's fault. That's just what that means. If things go wrong, it can't be me. I'm my best me. No, your best you is not worth shooting, amen? I've heard them say it, and I hear them say it continually, and usually when I say it, some other preacher will get up and correct me about it or whatever the case is, but you know, these preachers, you know, talking about Baptists, you know, we get up and shoot ourselves. About half of you need to be shot, amen, amen. And break the rest of you's legs, amen, so you can't wander too far away, amen, amen, because you've got an old man in there, and he wins most of the time. And you won't be able to recognize the time of your visitation when the Lord's going to show up and visit you, and you're going to miss something indeed. Amen. They said in chapter 4, verse 16, said, "Come into your garden." Said, "Let that north wind." That wind's typical of the Holy Spirit. That's John chapter 3. I done mentioned that a while ago. He said, "Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out." Lord, if you bless this thing, some fruit will begin to take shape and that just be falling out the windows. Amen. And that's the way a church ought to be. Blessings ought to be overflowing and abounding. The Bible said he come to give us life and life more abundantly. I seen on one of the social media things it said that come to give us life and that we could live it more abundantly. That ain't what it says at all. He said to come to give us life and life more abundantly. Now, I'd read you a scripture the other night in 2 Peter. It said he gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He didn't just give us a gram or 50 milligrams. He gave us all of it. You can have all of it. Lord, ask the Lord to bless you. He'll come in and bless you. And you do what he asks you to do, and he'll bless you. Amen. And chapter 5, verse 1, he said, "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Eat, O friends." You know what a Christian problem is? You need to eat. My grandma used to look at me when I was a little boy, And I, you know, thinking back on it now, I could have probably said the same thing to her, because she was a little, I was a little old boy, and she was a little old lady. Amen. She wasn't, she probably about my, maybe a little shorter, but about my size and about my build. And her daddy was about the same way. My grandpa Ed Smith, about the same way, about the same build. But I was a little old boy, a little old skinny runt, and she'd come around and say, "Boy, I need to feed you, and you need to eat. Well, you need to eat." And that, just a little fella, I need to eat, amen? And that's true. My little old Grandma Hall, she was my daddy's grandmother, my great-grandmother, and I knew her before she died. She lived to be about 98. Then she would have lived longer than that, but she got murdered. Can you believe that? I would hate to live 98 years and get murdered by somebody, wouldn't you? It kind of seemed like a waste. But at any rate, that's the kind of family I was raised up in. Her son killed her. Smothered her on the couch while she was asleep because she wouldn't give him no money. Ain't that a shame how people will do their own family if they can't get what they want? Right. Amen? Got to be careful. Amen? But at any rate, I would go over to her house sometimes and spend the night with her. She was up in her 90s, and sometimes us boys would go stay with her, and we'd wake up in the morning and she'd already be up. Ain't that a shame? You know, boys got young and full of energy. And let a 90-year-old lady get up before them. Amen. But she'd been doing that. She'd been practicing that all of her life, born back in the 1800s. And she, there she was cooking breakfast at the stove. And she'd make bacon and sausage. And she'd make biscuits. And she'd have some homemade preserves, blackberry, usually, because we had a lot of blackberries around the country up there. And she'd have grits, and she'd have some kind of fried potatoes, like I think y'all call them home fries up here, but all they are is fried potatoes. And that's all they are. Amen. You got to come up with fancy names for stuff. Help yourself. We just wanted to eat it. We didn't care much about naming it. Amen. But at any rate, we'd have all kind. She'd have all that stuff made. Maybe a little bowl of cereal, some milk, and some orange juice. All that stuff on the table, big old bank. You say, how many of you was there? Just me. Just me and her. And she'd put all that food right out in front of me and say, "Eat, honey. You looking a little weak this morning. You need to eat." And I'd sit there and eat, and my heart's content. "Grandma, you going to eat?" "No, son, I ate when I got up." Amen. So you know what the problem is with a lot of Christians? They just malnourished. You need to eat. Amen. And the Lord come in and bless his garden, and there'll be fruit overflowing, plenty to eat, plenty of blessings to go around. And that's what he says right here. He says, "I've done the work." He said, I've produced the honeycomb, and I've produced the honey. Amen. Folks talk about, you know, if all the bees disappear, won't have nothing. Well, you know, the Lord's the one that produces all that stuff anyway. Amen. Did you know that there's more than one creature that can crawl across a flower and pollinators? That's just, the Lord got a way of doing things. Amen. They don't have many bees like that, but I've grown a garden and I've seen little beetles, you know, get in there and help the garden grow. But the Lord has his way in all that stuff. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind. He have his way in the little garden. Amen. Does that make sense to anybody but me? The Lord can do things, amen, when the world seems to be falling apart. The Lord bless some things. A church seemed to be falling apart sometime, and the Lord come in and bless it if God's people just have an ear to hear what he'd say. And you know what the Lord's saying here in verse number 1? Of course, we ain't read the rest of the chapter yet. And if you ain't never read it on your own, you may not know what's happening. But the Lord says, hey, the church at one time was praying that I'd show up. And now I done showed up and ain't nobody here. That's what he's fixing to say, amen? He said, old friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Have as much as you want. And that's what my little Grandma Hall would say. She'd say, eat up, honey. Eat as much as you want. I'd be sticking off my cheeks like a squirrel, and I'd be stuffed to the gills and couldn't eat another bite if I wanted to. Eat some more, darling. That's what the Lord says. Eat some more. I was just at church Wednesday night. Well, have some more. It'll be all right. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas rolls around. You go back for that second helping of, you know, vanilla, what do you call that stuff? Banana pudding. Vanilla wafers, I was about to say, because that's what it's made out of. Amen. Everybody knows what I was talking about. Everybody up here knows about banana pudding, don't they? You ain't that far above the Mason-Dixon line, amen? You go back to two or three helpings of that banana pudding, amen? I had the responsibility of guarding I don't care about names or stuff, man. I just want to eat it. But I was standing in the dessert line the other day helping dish it out, and I was standing there where they had all that whipped cream and chocolate chip cookies mashed up together, and next to it was a pan of whipped cream with Oreos mixed all in there, and boy, people was coming back three or four times. But you know, even that can be a little bit deceptive. You know, some people come to church every service, and you think they're really getting something, and you'll be like that little bus kid out there. See, this little bus kid, I don't mean no offense at all, but it doesn't look like that bus kid missed many meals. And he come up there and said, I want some of that and that and that and that. And somebody had already come by and said, now the bus kids just get one and move on. But I said, ain't nobody looking. I gave him a little this and a little that and a little this and took the plate away. I said, now you come back and I'll give you some of the rest of them. And so he come back about 10 minutes later and said, this, that, and this. I served them up. Amen? It's like kind of like somebody come to church and they say an amen. You think they want you to preach longer. But they say an amen so you'll feel good and quit. That's really what it's all about, amen? That's really what it turns out to be. Amen. Some people come as a pastor, some folks come up and ask you questions, but they ain't wanting the answer. They want you to make them feel better about something. Amen. A lot of times that's the way it is. But at any rate, after we got done serving, I began to go out and make sure if anybody wanted anything else or anything like that. And I come across that little kid's plate, and I'd done served him three times. Three times the kid had come back. You know what I found on the table? Three plates with everything I served him. Wasn't none of it gone. Didn't eat none of it. I'm going to just wait. I'm going to let you preach the rest of that point, amen? Because people come right to church and holler amen. You know, you wouldn't believe that I'd do something like this, but I've calculated some sermons just to hit that exact right person. When they come to church this week, I'm telling them this, whether they like it or not. Boy, they better get right or the Lord's going to jump all over them. Begin to preach, and they're the one hollering amen the loudest. And you're the one I'm talking to. Amen. You say, what is it? Well, they're filling up their plate, and the Lord's really blessing, and the Lord's giving you exactly what he ought to give you at the time, but you ain't there. You that might be there in body, but your spirit's at the ball game. Amen. I think a lot of people, so I'll be with you in spirit, Brother Mike. A lot of people come here, their spirit's somewhere else. And that's what the Lord says here. And I've went a long ways around this morning just introducing you to the chapter, but that's what the Lord says. He says, oh, friends, drink. Yeah, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved, it's here for you if you want it. And that'd be a good message this morning. It's here for you if you want it. Brother Mike, I just ain't happy. Well, it's here for you if you want it. You know, that word happy, it translates blessed. Blessed. You can have it. It's here for you. Amen. Got quiet right there. I don't know why. But here's the Lord says, come on, friends, and drink. He said, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved, the Lord loves you. You say, well, I've been a terrible sinner. I've been awful backslid. The Lord still loves you, though. It ain't changed you standing with him. Your actions didn't save you. You don't get saved by doing things, does it? Do you? Anybody in here believe you got to work your way to heaven? We'll have a little conference after church. We'll change your mind about that. If you got eyes to see and ears to hear, we'll change your mind about that. Salvation is by grace. It's not by works. Well, the Lord saved you without works. He'll reconcile you without works after you get backslid. All you got to do is put yourself in the place to get it. Amen. So the Lord says, where yet? Come drink. And verse 2, the bride answers again. She says, I sleep. I'm asleep. Some of you do real good to just stop being bullheaded, stop being ornery, stop thinking all the world's against you. You want me to tell you who's against you? Oh, it's that devil, ain't it? No, it's you. You're the ones against you. Amen. When I get all crossed up and do things I ought not do, you know who I point the finger at? It's me. It's me. And when bad stuff starts happening to me, I don't think the world's against me. Of course, the world is against me if I am the kind of person I ought to be. Amen. The world will be against you. But you know who's my chief enemy? It's not the devil. It's me. When I get backslid, you know who's backslid? I'm backslid. Not like Flip Wilson. The devil didn't make me do it. I did that by myself. Amen? I'm not a Calvinist. God didn't make me sin so that his sovereign will could be done. I've done that on my own. That's my responsibility. Amen? And the Christian that is the Christian that he ought to be and realizes who he is, he said, the only answer he can give is, I sleep, but my heart wakes. I'm sitting here about comatose out of my mind with enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, but there's something on the inside that's telling me, boy, I better wake up. You ever been in that place right between being asleep and being awake and you kind of know what's going on and you kind of don't? And you know you need to get up, but you just can't, and you just can't move. I think some idiot had that experience and called it sleep paralysis, and maybe there's a ghost or being abducted by aliens or something. But no, that's just being about, you're just about awake, and you're just about asleep. Amen? And from time to time, it might be a little bit scary, but if you'll just lay there a minute, you'll wake all the way up and say, man, I should have been out of bed 15 minutes ago. Amen. Well, that's what this Christian is right here. Sleep paralysis. Said, I'm asleep, but my heart's awake. That's the case for a lot of Christians. I ought not be living this way. But I just am because you're asleep. Paul said it's high time to wake out of sleep. That sleepiness for a Christian has a parallel with being dead, but it mainly just means you're going about the things of the world and you're oblivious. You know, when you're asleep, you're not worried about what time it is. When you're asleep, you're not worried about, you know, doing your task at work tomorrow. You're just asleep. You're just enjoying yourself. Amen. I enjoy myself when I sleep, don't you? Yes, sir. Amen. Sometimes I used to think them old folks, I was talking about my Grandma Hall and my Grandma Smith and all them, I was thinking about, man, I didn't know if they ever slept or not. I never seen them sleep. We'd sometimes go to their house to wait for the school bus. They'd be awake already. Sometimes we'd leave them late at night when Mom or Daddy'd come pick us up after work, and they'd still be awake when we left. I'm not sure they slept at all. I never did see my Grandma Hall sleep. Never did. Never seen her sleep. She was always up by the time we got there and still awake when we left. Not sure if they slept at all. And, you know, thinking about it back over the years, I've known some Christians. I'm not sure they ever backslid. They're flesh just like us, and they had problems, I'm sure. I didn't go behind a lot of closed doors with a lot of people. But, you know, when I first met them in 1974, I found a little fella named Black and his wife. And we got some folks in the church here, Hugo Black and Tim Black and different folks like that. Well, there was a Reverend Black, I can't remember his first name, but at any rate, this fellow, you know, him and his wife, Irene Black, and I'll think of his first name in a minute, but at any rate, they were evangelists, had a tent, went around, and all my childhood days, that's what they done. When I got up in my teenage years, he had died. Paul Black was his name, and that sold Bibles and to make a living, and besides that, they was preacher. He was a preacher and did a tent and all that kind of stuff. But when I got up to be a teenager, almost 18 years old, about to go in the Marine Corps, there she still was, right around the church there, doing what she was supposed to do. There's another lady named Imogene Jenkins. When I was a little boy, she was there, and she'd work on the bus. She'd clean up some stuff, and she'd clean up the school, and she would the little Christian school there at the church, and she'd just do whatever was needed of her. Preacher Lackey even bought her a little trailer and put it right on the church property, and she lived back there behind the gymnasium, and she served the Lord all of her life, all the days that I can remember. And there was some ladies there that are still there now, maybe a few men still left as well, but there's some ladies there that was there when I was a little boy. They're still there. Walk in, I could take you right to their seat. White Plains Baptist Church, they'll still be sitting right there. I wouldn't even have to remember their name, but I could take you to the seat they're sitting in right now and say, there's old Miss So-and-so. There she is still. Amen. A lot of people in that church. I couldn't remember all their names. Amen. I can't even remember all your names. Amen. You're not that big a number, but I can't even remember all your names. But at any rate, they're just there all the time. Just there all the time. And kind of that way, there's some Christians that are going to be there all the time. Then there's just some that say, what's the matter with them, Brother Mike? They're bad, wicked people. Well, you could say that about anybody, couldn't you?
Yeah, right.
Amen. You could say that about some of the folks with the most standards. They just don't show it as well. When a Christian gets really good at being a Christian, they can hide some of the rough edges. You can hide it under a suit and hide it under a tie. Hide it under an amen every once in a while. Somebody say something to you. Amen. Wonderful day. And amen. Just makes you look like a wonderful guy. A lot of people got that kind of talent. But if you're the kind of person that you ought to be, you know who you are, don't you? Amen. I was reading in the book of Daniel, I believe it was yesterday, and I come across a little phrase that reminded me. Every time I read it, it reminds me of this particular thing. But, you know, Daniel was there, and an angel showed up, and Daniel gives a description of that angel, and he said, a peculiar thing happened. Of course, that's my version there. But to me, it is a peculiar thing. When that angel showed up in his room to give him the explanation of one of the visions that he had saw, he said, my comeliness turned into corruption. And just plain old country boy talk, everything I thought was wonderful about me looked like rust. That's what happens when you get around not only God, but something godly. That wasn't necessarily God that come in the room with him, but just an angel pops in the room. He said, boy, everything that was beautiful to me, my best me turned into a mud hole. Amen. The Lord showed up to Job and he said, boy, I heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but my eye sees you. And he said, now I abhor myself. Well, he needs a psychiatrist, don't he? No, he's not thinking wrong. He's thinking right. He said, I abhor myself. Now I repent, he said, in dust and sackcloth. Oh, don't be so down on yourself, the world says. The Lord shows up and says, maybe you ought to have a little lower opinion of yourself. Well, I don't think that's true. Well, keep on thinking that way, and next year this time you'll still feel the same way, and the year after that you'll still feel like an old mole. And it seems like the worse I feel about myself, the better I feel. Explain that to me, Dr. Spock. You can't. He don't know what he's talking about. He's going to hell. He don't know what's going on. Einstein, he don't know what's going on. He's going to hell. Best thing you can come up with is an atomic bomb. You ain't worth shooting. Amen. To get all them bunch of scientists together, somebody should have lined them up when they was 12 years old and shot them all with shotguns. Now, you get mad at me about saying that, but all these people you put confidence in shooting rockets to the moon and stuff like that, they didn't do nothing but build atomic bombs and send people to hell. They should have just been wiped out. Like Job said, I was an untimely birth. I should have died the day I was born. He said that because he was a sinner.
Yeah,
amen. So what do you think about folks that build atomic bombs? I don't care for them. Don't care if you do. Well, you need to have a Christian attitude. You have one for me, okay? Amen. That's the way I feel about that kind of stuff. People so feeling good about themselves and feeling good. I just feel so wonderful about myself. You automatically got to feel good about others too. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what goes on. Well, I know I got drunk last night, but after all, I'm only human. Okay, somebody sneaks in your house and molests your kids. They only human? That's why they got people on death row now.
Yeah.
They didn't used to have folks on death row. Did you know America didn't used to have to pay for death row?
Amen.
Oh, you killed that fella, did you? Death sentence.
That's right.
Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, that fella was pushing up daisies.
Amen.
You say, why? Because he wasn't a good fella.
Yeah. That's right.
Oops. No, it wasn't no oops. He did that on purpose. Amen. And even if he didn't do it on purpose, he deserved to die anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it was just one of those rages. Okay, next time the rage happens, it'll be in your living room.
Right.
Is that okay? I think we ought to let him live. Can he come live with you?
Yeah.
Right.
The fellow just killed somebody. Can he come live with you? If you don't want us to put him on death row, can he come live with you? Why not? I thought you loved everybody. I thought you, see, this kind and compassionate put up with everything as you put up with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. The stuff they let go on in high schools, you notice no congressman's kids go to no public high schools. This health care that they want you to have, none of them have that. No senator signed up for Obamacare. Did you know that? All this goody two-shoe stuff is just stuff that scientists and philosophers and politicians and preachers are pushing off on you. Now y'all love everybody. Just love everybody. That's keep you calm and docile. I don't preach no messages about you love everybody. Some people need a busted mouth.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, don't you believe you should love everybody? Everybody you can, yeah. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If we can't live in peace, then we at war. Amen. How you doing? Good. I'm a Christian. Good. I'm glad you are. To start telling false doctrine, I'm done with you.
Amen.
No, that ain't right. Well, can't you put up with me a little while? Not 10 minutes.
Amen.
Amen. You know, let me give you one of the secrets to a sane and happy life. Don't put up with stupid people.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Mike, everybody's got a little bit of stupid in them. I understand that. Hang out with the people who are stupid like you and let all the people that are stupid in a different way hang out in their own flock and you'll be happy. You should be putting up with everybody's foolishness. Amen. 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 And what goes on in church is, you know, 3/4 of the crowd's asleep and preacher's just trying to keep it all together. Just let it break, amen? Amen. You'd be surprised how fast I can break a church. Yeah, and I'm trying to do my best here as the assistant pastor because it ain't my job to break nothing. As the assistant job, it really ain't my job to break anything. But the first Sunday I preached at People's Baptist Church, you know, some of you crazy people are going to be upset with me for saying this, but that was my church. Oh, that's God's church, Brother Mike. Yeah, but he put me there.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So I just showed up and preached the truth. The first week we had like 75 people. The next week we had 12. Why won't they come back? I prayed like that for about 3 weeks, and the Lord said, because they're stupid, let them go. That's not the Jesus I serve. I know you serve the Jesus that hangs out, you know. I almost said Hollywood Boulevard, but I didn't mean anything about that. I'm just saying that Hollywood crowd is the one that puts most of them preachers in your pulpit.
That's right.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Most pastors in Baptist churches are socialists.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, you don't think stuff like that happens, but let me give you a clue how Hollywood works. Hollywood give you a nice, sweet little girl about this tall. And she'll be jumping around the platform going, "The good ship, lollipop." And now everybody, "Oh, ain't she cute? Oh." And they get their little kids, "Look at that sweetheart little girl. She's sweet." And so every day at 5 o'clock, kid comes home, turns on YouTube and watches that little girl grow up. Or Nickelodeon or whatever. And the more she grows, the more of a slut she becomes. And those little girls coming up with her just go that way with her. And when she gets all used up, here comes Taylor Swift. "I love me some Tim McGraw. Ain't that sweet?" Here comes another little crowd. "Oh, here's a nice, sweet, sensitive little girl we can all follow." And off she goes to become a slut. And takes another crowd with her. Amen? Amen. And here comes a little Hollywood preacher or a little Bob Jones graduate, socialist, and gets together. Now we just need to love everybody. And the church sitting there asleep.
That's right.
Well, does he got a Bible? He's got a Bible. Is he opening with prayer? Oh, he opened with prayer. Yes, yes, yes. Very spiritual. Yes. We got us a good preacher. They sent us a good preacher this time. And off he goes over to the liberal side of things, and there goes another church with him. And eventually some young whippersnapper will come along and say, "You need to get right!" We'll go up for a few minutes, and here comes the next little fella from Bob Jones University. Now let's bow our heads and take out our Bibles. And
amen.
Off goes another church is asleep.
Amen.
But you know, if you're really saved, there'll be something inside that's going, "That ain't the way it ought to be." Some of you saved as the day is long, but inside your heart you're saying, "This ain't the way it ought to be." I've done wasted the whole sermon. You know, I wasted the whole sermon, or the whole time I had to preach this sermon is what I'm trying to say, on just the introduction of it. But that, I think, maybe you don't need to go past the introduction. You asleep, and you know it, and you need to get it right before you break your neck. You know what happens to this old girl that's sleeping? The Lord walks away from her door. The Lord's standing at the door saying, "Why weren't you in Sunday school this morning?" Read it for yourself and find out. "Why weren't you in Sunday school this morning?" No answer. "I'd like to get up, but I can't. I'm in bed. I got my shoes off. How can I put them on?" That's what she says. Christians are stupid. They are. "Well, I've already watched half of this movie. Why should I turn it off just because there's a little nakedness on here?" "I done turned it on now. How can I turn it off?" What's your feet supposed to be shod with? The preparation of the gospel. Not supposed to take your shoes off. But she said, "I took them off." You know what happens? The Lord walks away and she runs out trying to find him. And the watchman grabs her and beats her up. You know who the watchman is, don't you? That's a preacher. "I didn't come here for this morning." "Well, what did you come here for? Cupcakes? You want to ride the little bus home and get some lollipops with the bus kids? Is that what you come for? Come to feel better about yourself? Got drunk on Saturday night, did you? You need to come." That's what the Catholics do.
Sure.
Drunk on Friday and go a little Budweiser with your fish and then go out Saturday night. Mess around with somebody else's wife. Come to church on Sunday morning. Tic-tac-toe, three in a row. Everything's all right now. Go mess this week up too. That ain't the way Christianity works.
Amen.
Ain't the way it works. Supposed to get your heart right, get your heart fixed. Amen. It can be done. It can be done. And the thing about it is, really, what a preacher does, what I'm trying to do is just reinforce that fact, because you might be asleep, but your heart's awake on the inside, and it's telling you the same thing. Amen. And the only reason you get mad at the preacher is because you've been mad on the inside. You just didn't know where that being mad's been directed at. But you're mad at God. He won't leave you alone. He saved you. Now he won't forsake you. You keep on drinking and keep on cussing and keep on watching pornography and keep on doing the things the way you want to. And inside, there's a contrary voice saying, "It ain't right. It ain't right." And you're mad. You just don't know who you're mad at. You're just mad at God before you got mad at me. That's the Bible truth. It'd be so easy to fix it, though. You could get just like this young lady in the passage and run around town saying, you know where I can find the Lord? You know where I can find him? You know where I can find him? And while you're looking for him, preacher will find you somewhere and rustle you in and bring you back. Where you been? You know how many times I've heard Pastor Ryman say since I've been back here since June. It only seems like 3 weeks to me, but I guess it's been 6 months. But you know how many times I've heard him say, if I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 20 times. "I run into so-and-so the other day. They were at the mall or at the biscuit shop or somewhere like that." And he said, the first thing I asked him is, "Where you been?"
Yeah.
That's the worst question you ought to ever have to ask a Christian. Where you been?
Yeah.
Where you been? You sitting here hard-hearted this morning? Let me ask you. I don't really care physically where you've been, but spiritually, where you been?
Amen.
Ain't you tired of being there yet? Ain't you tired of feeling that way yet? It's a remedy. Amen. It's a remedy. Repentance. Amen. We might look at this passage again sometime when I preach it like I got some sense. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your grace. I pray, God, you'd take what a meager little attempt that I've attempted here this morning and bless it and use it, Lord, to your honor and glory. Lord, help us. Help us. I say, not help them. I say, help us, God, to be the people that we ought to be, the people of God. And I'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray it. Amen. Amen. All right. Take a little break.